Monday, the 5th of May. My name is Chris Hutton, and this is the latest Risk Alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's Risk Alert, we begin with South Africa's third proposed budget in 2025. Next, alleged MTN dealings in Iran pose a serious risk to South Africa-US relations. Thereafter, we look at the impact of US President Trump on elections in Canada and Australia, and we close with analysis of Mr. Trump's first 100 days in office, with significant risks for his policy reform program on the horizon. The Finance Minister, Enoch Godongwana, will present his third budget to South Africa on the 21st of May, with the proposed increase in the value-added tax rate to 15.5% scrapped. The National Treasury's estimated revenue will fall short by 75 billion rand over the next 3 years. A more realistic budget will restore some of the credibility that Mr. Godongwana and the National Treasury have lost over the last 3 months. In the second version of the budget, presented on the 12th of March, Treasury forecast debt to GDP to stabilize at 76.2% of this year, before declining to 73% by 2030. This stands in stark contrast to the forecast by the IMF, which projected South Africa's debt to GDP to reach 88.7% by 2030. In the same budget, Treasury forecast GDP growth of 1.9% in 2025, while the IMF sees growth of only 1%. In the context of large-scale disruptions to international trade and investment flows under the impact of Donald Trump's policy shifts, South Africa's short- to medium-term growth prospects are perilously close to flatlining. They will not be helped by a low-growth domestic environment in which the government of national unity has failed to deliver pro-growth reforms, instead doubling down on anti-growth legislation such as the Expropriation Act, the National Health Insurance Act, the Public Procurement Act, and strict race-based targets under the Employment Equity Act. Without economic growth, Mr. Godongwana's task will only become more difficult. The close three-way ties between the ANC, cellular company MTN, and the country of Iran could pose a significant risk to South Africa's relationship with the United States. President Ramaphosa is a former chairman of MTN and has appointed Mlambisi Jonas, a current chairman of MTN and former deputy finance minister of South Africa, as special envoy to the US. MTN has a significant business interest in Iran. In court cases currently underway in the US and South Africa, it is alleged that MTN bribed Iranian officials, helped foreign terrorist organizations obtain US technologies, and promised to procure military equipment for Iran. Although these allegations are untested, the lawsuits mean that the company could be compelled to disclose sensitive internal information that would be potentially embarrassing to it and the ANC, including information touching on rumored financial links between the ANC and Iran. The ANC has frequently expressed its solidarity with Iran and Iranian-supported movements such as Hamas and Hezbollah, and regularly celebrates its fraternal links with all three entities. The US, meanwhile, considers Iran a state sponsor of international terrorism and has designated Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as foreign terror organizations. Should the court cases establish that there was indeed corruption or support for terrorist organizations in the relationship between MTN, the ANC, and Iran, this would very likely lead to the US imposing sanctions on MTN, implicated ANC officials, and potentially South Africa itself. Right-of-center candidates were defeated in last week's elections in Canada and Australia, despite enjoying substantial leads in polling at the beginning of the year. In Canada, the incumbent centre-left Liberal Party, formerly led by Justin Trudeau and now by Mark Carney, will form a minority government after winning 168 seats in the House of Commons, short of the 172 needed for a majority. In Australia, the incumbent centre-left Labour Party under Anthony Albanese won a resounding victory, with projections at the time of writing giving him 85 of 151 seats in the lower house of parliament. Both elections were significantly influenced by the Trump presidency. In Canada, Mr. Trump's aggressive trade tariffs and provocative rhetoric about annexing Canada as a so-called 51st state sparked a surge in nationalism, which Mr. Carney capitalized on by positioning himself as a defender of Canadian sovereignty. This eroded support for his main opponent, Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservative Party, whose populist stance echoed Mr. Trump's, alienating voters wary of US influence. Similarly, in Australia, Mr. Trump's global tariffs and erratic foreign policy, including a 10% tariff on Australian goods, shifted public sentiment. Polls showed 66% of Australians viewed the US as an unreliable security partner, and Mr. Albanese's criticism of Mr. Trump's tariffs as, quote, not the act of a friend, end quote, resonated with voters. These outcomes strain relations between the US and two of its most important allies. Mr. Carney's victory speech emphasized Canada's need to diversify trade and security partnerships, implying a departure from deep US integration. In Australia, Mr. Albanese's win strengthens his hand to assert national interests, potentially re-evaluating reliance on the US amid doubts about alliances like AUKUS. As Canada and Australia commit to building trade relationships outside of the United States, South Africa can take advantage, assuming it can get its trade infrastructure and policy house in order. Both governments will likely engage actively with multilateral institutions such as the UN and G20, and will support many of the goals that South Africa puts forth as part of its G20 presidency. In his second term, US President Donald Trump has had one of the most active first 100 days of any US president. With more executive orders issued than any other president, he has embarked on fulfilling a host of campaign promises. From slashing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, to retaliating against opponents, to imposing huge import tariffs across the board, Mr. Trump is fulfilling many campaign promises that some analysts assumed were just campaign rhetoric. Mr. Trump has been able to accomplish this thanks to his iron grip over the Republican Party. His electoral victory and force of personality have allowed his allies in the House and Senate to overcome the often fractious and rebellious nature of Republican congressmen. As such, he has faced no real attempt by Congress to oppose or obstruct his policy program. The major fault line in the new Republican Party will be between those who take the America First worldview to its nationalist extreme versus those who interpret it as a so-called America First, not America alone sentiment, recently expressed by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. The most consequential of Mr. Trump's early policy moves were enormous tariff increases, which have raised tariffs from historic lows to levels not seen in the US since the 1940s. With reciprocal tariffs of various levels set to resume on the 9th of July, the new US universal baseline tariff of 10% is set to remain. The attempt to rejig global trade has been accompanied by a strong push for the localization of manufacturing, a policy objective that resembles the ANC's own beneficiation, industrialization, and localization preferences. Meanwhile, first quarter GDP growth figures in the US were sent crashing down from an expected 2.3% growth to an actual contraction of 0.3% in the wake of the tariffs and uncertainty that these generated. This could weaken Mr. Trump's control over the Republican Party, as vulnerable Republicans distance themselves from Mr. Trump as the midterm elections approach in 2026. To turn around the situation, Mr. Trump will have to secure a host of significant trade deals with America's biggest trading partners around the world to return economic growth to healthy levels. Meanwhile, U.S. national debt at well over $34 trillion U.S. dollars will also be a persistent concern and possible curb on the reform plans of Mr. Trump and his colleagues. Should the Republicans succeed in passing much-promised tax cuts but not manage to cut spending, the U.S. deficit will only widen. Through Mr. Trump's first 100 days, the U.S. government spending was over $220 billion higher than during the same period in 2024. While the South African and U.S. governments both have spending problems, South Africa does not enjoy the exorbitant privilege of having a global reserve currency, a large tax base, or a decisive pro-growth administration. As economist Davi Ruet warned last week, if South Africa does not get its spending and debt under control, it faces the risk of a bond market collapse, resulting in much higher interest rates, a weaker currency, and a severe economic disruption that rapidly impoverishes the entire population. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead, and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp, with the latest risk alert.